grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, with steadfast love you draw us to yourself, and in mercy you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning. That's the right word you want. I said, go ahead and gather around. Put me around so I can see you all.
There we go.
Let you be.
Yeah, it's right in my pocket. Yeah. So who knows? Have you ever seen wheat? Has ever seen wheat?
Yes.
And oh, you planted some. Did you see the ones that are growing out here in the garden?
I saw the ones in the area. And
yeah.
I've seen.
Oh. Well, you know, so when you break it, right? If you break it, yeah, it snaps, right? But if you break it, I mean, if you wanted to use those seeds, right, would you have to break it anyway? Yeah, you'd have, you might, yeah, I think, because grasses, they like to spread their seeds when they die. They like to do that. So yeah, exactly, it's kind of a weird thing, right? So you cut the wheat, and then you take the seeds out, and you planted them. And that's what I did. Pastor Karen gave me a gift of wheat when I got here, and I wanted to plant it. I wanted to see what would happen with it. So I took one stalk of wheat, about this much, just, and I think maybe a handful of seeds, about this much, and I planted out there. And did you know how many grew? How many as there were seeds? Yeah, can you imagine? Did you have a number in mind? A lot?
One at my school, we tried to plant flowers.
Did it work out?
We just plant seeds, and then we were going to wait on the leaves, and then tomorrow we're going to see.
Oh. Oh, you're going to see if they grow or not. So who's planted things before, right? Right? So you have...
I planted a straw.
Oh, that would be great. So did you plant... You planted wheat, you said.
Yes, right. Yeah. Next to succulent
cactus. Oh, that's great. Water... Yeah, anything you've planted?
I planted strawberries.
Strawberries. So they have... How did you do that? Little tiny seeds? They go in the ground, or did you put a strawberry in? Oh, okay. Seeds in the ground.
How about you guys?
You go ahead first.
Strawberry.
I actually water it at school.
Oh, you water it at school. You have to put water on it, yeah.
Oh, we have a
supply tree. Wow, that's huge. It's growing. It's going to be a really big one day. So it started out small, though, right? It started out this tiny little seed, right, that can grow into something really big. But did the plant, did you get that seed from another plant? Or was it already living and you planted it? Yeah, another plant had to give it up, right? So we have to, if we think about Jesus, and we think about what Jesus did and gave himself, this one person, so that all of us could have this faith and all of us could share in that, right? That's one for many, right? You get one tiny little thing and it becomes many, right? That's one way that we can think about it, as this little seed. And Jesus talks more about that today at Sunday school. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we give thanks for the smallest ways that you affect our lives in the biggest impacts. You take one little tiny piece of faith, one little tiny life, and you turn it into something that blossoms for everyone to enjoy and everyone to get life through. Grant, O Lord, that we may use this life well, that we may live it through your word, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Can I give you this? There you go.
He says, not to save the children of the friend, all the children of the world.
Red, red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus was the little children of the world.
A reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke. though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from Hebrews. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. And he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Having been designated by God a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, The voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Well, wonderful good news this Sunday. Well, every Sunday we have wonderful good news. We hear again about a covenant, a promise that God makes, an assurance of pardon, of transformation of our lives and our life together being transformed, and a future filled with hope and the promise of eternal salvation. All this is good news because God is being God for us. God is at work amongst us and for us. These past weeks of Lent, we have been hearing stories of covenant, stories of promise. We began Lent 5 weeks ago with the story of the promise written in color, written in the sky, in the shape of a rainbow, that covenant that God made with Noah. The following Sunday, we heard about God's promise written again in the sky, in the number of stars, that immense number of stars, and the promise, the covenant that God made with Abraham and Sarah. And then the covenant that God made with Moses, a promise written in stone on the Ten Commandments, those stone tablets. And today, this promise from the prophet that we hear from the prophet Jeremiah, not written in the sky, not written in stone, not external at all, but a promise, a covenant relationship that God writes deep inside, in on our very hearts, on the hearts of God's people is the covenant written. And what a beautiful image of God that we get from this passage in Jeremiah. We see a loving, a forgiving God returning again and again to the people of Israel with mercy and tender care. And even though the people kept straying away, breaking that covenant, God remembers and remembers again God's great love for his people. And he establishes and calls out again and again, trying to establish, trying to develop that loving relationship with them. Jeremiah uses language that evokes parental and spousal kind of relationship. I took them by the hand, God says, of his people. I was their husband. I took them by the hand. God wants a relationship with us. God wants a relationship with his people. And God is not waiting. God declares that he himself will write that on our hearts, write himself into the hearts of his people. I grew up in a house with religious images and pictures on the wall. And I remember a particular little wooden, probably plastic, but I thought they were hand-carved wooden pieces. And they were down our hallway. And one of them was, and it was kind of a, not painted, colored, but just the image. So you had to look at it closely. One was the Good Shepherd, Jesus with the sheep on his, across his shoulders. And the other one, image of Jesus standing at the door, knocking on the door. And that's that image of such a patient God knocking gently on the door of our hearts, that is not the image that we get from Jeremiah today. This is not a patient God who is waiting for us to respond. This is a God that says, I will wait no longer. I am writing my love for you on your heart. Very compelling image of God, I think. So determined to make us his own. But this isn't just about me and God. This is about me and God and all of us. This is about the community, about the covenant relationship that God makes with each of us individually, but with all of us as God's chosen people. We are members of a community, of the family of God. And God loves us so deeply and unconditionally, always remembering that covenant that God has made for us. And we know that we can turn to God again and again with our broken spirits and our sin, our homesickness and our loneliness, our hunger for justice in the world. We can turn to God again and again with our lost vision and our lost hope. Even though the fabric of our hearts is torn apart, we listen to that tender-hearted God who speaks to us words of comfort and consolation, with words of rescue and release, with words of restoration and homecoming. Jeremiah wrote these words to a people who were in exile. They were exiled from Babylon. We also are held captive in a different way. We're not bound in the same way that the people of Israel were bound when they were captive in Egypt or exiled in Babylon. We're bound in a different way. We're bound by materialism and by greed. We're bound by a thirst for power, our sense of entitlement. We're bound by nationalism and racism and all those other isms. And yet, as the people of God, we walk in freedom. Even though we are bound by those things, we walk in the freedom of God's people. We are a people of the covenant, and it's written on our hearts. We walk in freedom, responding to that call to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God, to love God with our whole being and our neighbors as ourselves. I've heard it lately said that we live in uncertain times. And I was wondering, has there ever been a time that was certain? Seems like uncertain times is just life. That this is a time for us to listen to God's word for us, a word of hope, a word of hope not only for us personally, but for the world. So what is it that God hopes for you? What do you think God is hoping for you, that God is wishing for you? What do you hope for? Read your heart. It's written on your heart. God says, "You are mine, and I am thine." I had a friend 100 years ago who had wanted to remember those words all the time. So she had a ring and had that engraved on her ring. And she saw that every day. I am thine. You are mine. I am thine. Well, after 2 years of Weight Watchers, she had to have her ring resized. And it came back, and the engraving now said, "You are mine. I am thin." That is a true story. I'm not making that up. Dear Judith was one of my roommates. She's in heaven now. Doesn't need to have it written on a ring to remember, to know that you are mine. I am thine. We belong to God, thin or not. That covenant promise is engraved on our hearts. Desmond Tutu, the bishop, told this story about teaching a confirmation class about the meaning of the covenant and the relationship between God and the people of God. He went through it step by step, explaining that promise of God, telling that God would save the people from by leading them out of slavery, and then they were to worship only the one true God. And then God's people were told to act in ways that showed that they were a liberated people, a people of freedom in a love relationship with God. So as the bishop explained that to his confirmation class, he wanted to see if it, you know, sunk in. Did they understand? And so he asked for a review. Tell me what you heard me say. And some answered pretty close and some not so close. And then one small child raised his hand and put it quite succinctly. He said, quoting God, "I saved your butts, now behave." That's not exactly what God wrote on our hearts. It's close. It's close, but there's more. Because the covenant relationship is God's promise to us, but it's not conditional. I did this for you, therefore you must do this for me. I saved your butt, now behave. God's covenant relationship with us is unconditional. It doesn't depend on our behavior, but we respond because of that covenant in a way that shows that we are in that covenant relationship. God's covenant love frees us to behave. It gives us liberation from all that keeps us captive. We are people of a covenant that is written on our hearts. We walk in freedom, responding to the call to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God, and to love God with our whole being and our neighbor as ourselves. Read your heart and know what God has written there. You are mine. I am thine. Amen.